think anybody's gonna mind tunes in either. All right, we're good to go. We got rolling here, we got sound. All right, amen. Well, I want to help you this morning. I don't want to hurt you, I want to help you. And you may be right down the line agreeing with me on some things, and then again, you may have some reservations on what I'm going to say this morning, but really and truly, it doesn't matter. It just really kind of matters what God has to say. And so so we're going to turn to the Word of God this morning. I want you to turn your Bible to 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. This is not really a solid text verse on this, but there is a part of this passage that expresses exactly what we're talking about. I'm not going to tell you what we're talking about just yet. I'll reveal that as we go into the message. 2 Peter 2, 1 through 8. I'm going to give you just a second to find that. And when you found it, say amen. 2 Peter chapter 2 in the first 8 verses. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse first 8 verses. And again, I don't know how long I'm going to be on this theme of the narrow way. I mean, I guess you could say I could stay on it forever because it's the Christian life's what it is. But I want to. There is a narrow way within the way. You understand? You can be a Christian and not walk the narrow way, but you're not going to be a very good one. You're not going to be one that pleases God. I want to walk the narrow way within the way. And to walk that narrow way within the way, you've got to like what Jesus likes, love what Jesus loves, and hate what Jesus hates. And that's the hard part because we live in this world. And we are used to things of this world, and we've got to learn what things are okay for us and what things are not okay for us. And when you start talking along those lines, you start making people mad because people have preferences, you see. Some people say, well, I'm just not convicted like you are. I just don't have the same convictions you do, and you're trying to rule over me. I'm not trying to rule over you. I'm going to tell you what God says. You do with it what you do with it. That's the way I preach. And I want to make sure you understand, and I think you know me by now, to know me long enough. There are churches you can go to, and if you don't do exactly what the preacher says, the preacher's going to come down on you and make you feel about this tall. That's not the case here. I'm not going to do that to you. I'm going to let God be God. But I'm going to tell you the truth, if you like it or if you don't. I still love you when I'm done, but I'm going to tell you the truth. 2 Peter, chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. The Bible says, but there were false prophets also among the people, and even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, for their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness, to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly. Now I want you to pay attention to these last two verses. And delivered just Lot. It doesn't mean just him. It means he was just. He was a saved person. Delivered just Lot, vexed. I want you to notice that he was saved, but he was vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. That doesn't just mean in hearing them talk. That means in seeing the way they lived. In hearing and in seeing. Now listen, here's what it says. For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing. You see that? In seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Now listen to me. He vexed, that means he brought grief. He pulled him down spiritually. It caused a great grief in his soul when he saw what they did every day and he heard about what they did every day. So it's not just seeing, but it's hearing that affects us. And I want us to go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get into this message. Father in heaven, I pray, Lord, that you'd help me over these next few minutes. Lord, I pray, Father, that the congregation, Lord, be locked in to the message. Father, that you speak the truth to them in love through these lips. Father, you know my heart, and I just want to help this morning. I want to be a blessing, Lord. What I'm going to talk about this morning, Lord, it's not comfortable to talk about because, Lord, it's sin. And, Lord, I know there's some things in it that I'm going to have to mention this morning that are uncomfortable to come to my lips in this pulpit. But, Father, I pray that you'd give me power and help me this morning for Christ's honor and glory. Lord, those who will be listening this morning by way of the Internet and watch it on video, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'd be a help to them and give them understanding, Lord, that they might cast off the works of darkness and walk the way with you within the way and the narrow way, Father. I pray, Lord, for Jesus, Lord, to guide us into the truth of the Holy Spirit power. And, Lord, I just pray that you'll just love on us this morning and draw us near to your side that we'd cast off the things that hinder us and walk with you. And I thank you now in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Amen. Now, where this came from, this past week, I got into a heated debate on Facebook with some good Christian brothers. And it was over the issue of music. Matter of fact, I was afraid I'd lost some good friends because I wouldn't budge. And they kept trying to get me to budge. And the music in question that we were talking about was Christian rock, and I shared that with you. And they contended that music was not sinful of itself, that music wasn't sinful, that it was the lyrics that went along with the music that made a type of music sinful, that you could worship God with any kind of music because music itself is not sinful. And no matter what kind of arguments I made to the contrary, their minds were made up, and I was made out to be playing God for warning them. Now, I'm talking about pastors. I'm not just talking about people, the lay people. I'm talking about pastors that I had problems with. I was told, I used to play God like that, and I've done this and that. I'm going to tell you something. I got a lot of heat off of that. That's okay, though. I don't mind getting heat, but I was told that I was judging people and that I should quit. So I want to ask a question this morning before we get into it. Before I reveal to you what my title is, I want to ask this question because they said that music in itself was neutral. You understand? Music's neutral. Well, I want to ask, number one, I'm going to ask this question, is music neutral? I want to read to you an article on this very subject. The title of it is If Music is Neutral. I'm going to give you some quotes, first of all, from some contemporary Christian people. First one is from Anthony Gentes from the Worship Thought periodical. Says, we need to stop advocating one music style over another, over against another. Our tradition, our style, our renderings have to do with ourselves, not with God. Don Butler from the Gospel Music Association says, there is no such thing as gospel music. Every style and form of music can become gospel, whether it's jazz, pop, rock and roll, or rap. Ralph Carmichael said, there is no style of music that can't be enjoyed by Christians. Bill Gaither of the Homecomings and all that. Bill Gaither said, God speaks through all different kinds of musical styles. So, if music is neutral. Y'all remember I know some of you probably do because you were probably around when they came out, but some of you have seen them since. The old talkies, or silent movies rather, not talkies, but silent movies, where you'd have a scene going on in black and white, silent, but you'd have the music rolling and the text on the screen. Now, if music is neutral, then why is it that the people that conduct the music for those movies can use different styles of music to create different emotions? said there were no words to these movies except the text shown across the screen, but the musicians, sometimes a lone pianist or organ, sometimes an orchestra, could create feelings of fear, haste, happiness, sorrow, romance, anger, indignation, tension, uncertainty, merely by changing the style of music. If there was a scene with a bad guy slowly sneaking up on the unsuspecting, sleeping heroine, the music would be tense and gloomy. If upbeat, classical, or peppy march music were put to that type of scene, the movie would be like a comedy, because the acting would be saying one thing and the music would be saying something entirely different. So music is not neutral. If all music styles are neutral, why can an orchestra create different feelings by changing the style of music? Orchestral music ordinarily doesn't have words. It's strictly music. But anyone who knows the power of music can testify that each style of music played by the orchestra creates different feelings and thoughts in the listeners. Put a different way, if all music styles are neutral, why does a military march never sound like a romance ballad? Or a baby lullaby sound like a punk rock concert? The reason is that music is not neutral. Music is a language. If all music styles are neutral, why do taverns and nightclubs always play a certain kind of music? The reason is because the music is not neutral, and taverns and bars play a kind of music that fits the lifestyle of that setting, because music is a language. If all music styles are neutral, why did the old blues men believe that certain kinds of rhythms caused women to be morally loose? For example, Professor Longhair's boogie-woogie piano music is said to have caused women to jump and wriggle in a lascivious manner. Robert Johnson, you remember him? Sold his soul to the devil at the crossroads? One of the pioneering blues men who died young because of his womanizing said of his blues rhythms, "This sound affected most women in a way that I could never understand." B.B. King, one of the biggest living names in the blues, said in his autobiography, "The women reacted with their bodies flowing to a rhythm coming out of my guitar." These are powerful statements about the effect of specific kind of music and rhythm. Were the blues men confused about their music? No, music is not neutral. It's a language. If all music styles are neutral, why do rock musicians claim that their heavily syncopated rhythm is sexy? Let me give you some quotes from rock musicians regarding this. Frank Zappa and the Mothers of Invention said, "Rock music is sex. The big beat matches the body's rhythms." Gene Simmons from Kiss, he said, "That's what rock is all about, sex with a 100 megaton bomb, the beat." John Oates from the rock duo Hall & Oates, "Rock and roll is 99% sex." Malcolm McLaren, who was a punk rock manager, he said, "Rock and roll is pagan and primitive and very jungle, and that's how it should be." Irwin Silber, I don't know who he was, but anyway, he said, "The great strength of rock and roll lies in its beat. It is a music which is basically sexual, unpuritan, and a threat to established patterns and values. Rock and roll aims for liberation and transcendence, eroticizing the spiritual and spiritualizing the erotic, because that is its ecumenical birthright." Robert Palmer, who played in Emerson, Lake & Palmer and did things on his own in the 80s. Tina Turner, "Rock and roll is fun. It's full of energy. It's naughty." Patti LaBelle, "Rock and roll was something that's hardcore, rough, wild, sweaty, and wet, and just loose." Rapper Missy Elliott's third album, "Miss E, So Addictive," is described as a seductive cocktail of quirky rhythms and hypnotic beats. Let me move on. If all music styles are neutral, why would a voodoo priestess say that her gods respond to certain rhythms? Consider this quote carefully. "The rhythm is more important than the meaning of the words. Our gods respond to rhythm above all else." The voodoo priestess says this is because she knows that music is not neutral and that certain rhythms interact with the spirit world. What a loud warning to those who have ears to hear. If all music styles are neutral, why did the 1960s LSD New Age guru Timothy Leary say, "Don't listen to the words, it's the music that has its own message"? If all music styles are neutral, why did Jimi Hendrix, one of the foremost experts in rock rhythms, claim that certain music creates a certain atmosphere? He said atmospheres are going to come through the music because the music is a spiritual thing of its own. Again, Robert Palmer, he says that the immoral influence of rock and roll inheres in the rhythm. I believe in the transformative power of rock and roll. This transformative power inheres not so much in the words of the songs or the stances of the stars, but in the music itself, in the sound, and above all, in the beat. If all music styles are neutral, why does the Bible specify that believers should sing a certain kind of music? Ephesians 5:19 says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. The word spiritual means set apart for God, different from the things of this world. A tavern or a nightclub owner would never play sacred psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs over the music system. Even if the words were not included, it would be the wrong atmosphere. Why then would believers borrow the music that tavern owners use to entertain and lull and stir the drinking crowd to their lascivious pleasures? Why would we bring that and put that in a church? If all music styles are neutral, that means that the devil hasn't corrupted music, but that's a nonsensical idea. The devil hates God and has attempted to corrupt everything God has created. He's called the God of this world and the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. He has corrupted religion, literature, art, fashion, you name it. And music is one of the most powerful influences in society. If all music styles are neutral, why did Joshua discern that the music coming up from the camp of Israel was a noise of war? How did he judge that from just what he was hearing? If all music styles are different, why do children react differently to various kinds of music? The author of this, who's a pastor, said, after visiting a church while on vacation, one of my readers submitted the following. Why did my children behave properly during the traditional morning service but jump around like they had ants in their pants for 45 minutes during the loud, rockish night service at the church we were visiting? Now this morning, I'm not going after rock music. This morning, I'm going after a sacred cow, so to speak. And in fact, I'm not just going after this sacred cow. I plan to take it to the slaughterhouse and have it butchered and packaged before the service is over. And it's a music that many folks in here today probably see as harmless for the most part. It's a music that plays almost everywhere we go and is on probably programmed in most people's radios out in the parking lot. Plays on people's radios while they work, exercise, shop. And I want to tell you this morning that this subject that I'm speaking on is one that I speak on from experience. Because I used to write it, I lived it, and I performed it for money for years. I have a degree from Honky Tonk University. I know what I'm talking about this morning. I want to tell you this morning about the dangers of country music. So we've determined this morning that music is not neutral, right? Now, I'm not saying that that drum set up here is evil for any stretch of the imagination. If it's played right, played correctly, there's nothing wrong with a drum set. I'm not up here to condemn drums. If I thought that, I would never have allowed them into the church. I believe they add to the worship service. I believe they add to the music. But as long as they're played correctly, as long as the beats are beats that are put into the songbook, as long as we're not trying to mimic the world. So, we've determined that music is not neutral. Okay, so question two. So, here's what they said to me on Facebook. They said, now look here, preacher. Music is neutral and music doesn't matter. It's what the lyrics say that mattered. That's what they said. Well, you can't have it both ways. It's one or the other, right? So, we've looked at the music. So, the music we discovered, the music is not neutral. So, and I know there are probably people here say, I've grew up listening to country music all my life. That's just the West kind of sound we listen to around here. So, even if we do come to that agreement, which I don't I dispute that with you, because country music has a sound that lends itself to a bar room. Country music has a sound that now today is on the same level with rock and roll. They've meshed so much now you can't tell the difference. But what about the lyrics? Well, I want to share a verse of scripture before I get into this morning. And 1 Peter 2:11 says this, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts that war against the soul." Fleshly lusts are at war with you, Christian, whether you realize it or not. And if you entertain fleshly lusts, you are inviting a battle. Amen. So is country music a safe alternative? Say, I don't listen to that rock and roll garbage. I don't listen to that rap garbage. I don't even listen to that Christian rock garbage. You know, we listen to a little country here and there, but it's not no big deal. Is it a safe alternative? Well, I want us to take a look at some of the famous country artists and some of the songs that they sing. And I'm going to go right after one that everybody, especially in Christian circles, seems to think is okay, which is Dolly Parton. And her 1997 album, Something Special, she wrote it and performed it, called Speaking of the Devil. "He's got a way of walking, he's got a way of talking, a way to fascinate me all the time. And he's got a way with women, a way to keep my head a swimming. He's got a way too many times. Oh, speaking of the devil, he's driving me wild with that wicked little grin and that fire in his eyes. He's got me dreaming, got me steaming. Ooh, speaking of the devil, it feels mighty close to heaven, and I'd go through hell to make him mine." That's Dolly Parton. Now, the Bible says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." Don't go ooh too much, because it's going to get a lot worse before it gets better, I can tell you right now. She put out an album not too many years ago called Halos and Horns. And on that album, she covers the heavy metal band Led Zeppelin's song Stairway to Heaven, which I know most of you know of. And, yeah, Dolly Parton did Stairway to Heaven, which the song, matter of fact, if you play it backwards, and I have done so, I used to go up to KTXU when it was up here, KPLT Studios. I was friends with a DJ, Steve Irvin, I think was his name, Irwin. Can't remember now, but it's been years ago. But we flipped the reel-to-reel backwards and played it. And it does say, "Oh, my sweet Satan, I love the one who makes me sad, whose name is Satan. It says, I love Satan, Satan, he is God." It says all that stuff in that song when played backwards. And she recorded this song, Dolly Parton did. And she quotes this about the song. She said, "I was scared to death to send it to Robert Plant and Jimmy Page." That's the singer and guitar player. "They sent word back that it was fine and they loved it. In fact, Robert Plant said he'd always thought of it as a spiritual song. And he was thrilled we'd use a choir on it because he thought about that too. If they like it, that's most important to me. But I do hope the public will accept it too. I even hope they love it." She also performed John Lennon's song Imagine on her 2005 album called Those Were the Days. Here's the lyrics to Imagine if you don't remember them. "Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us, above us only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. Imagine there's no countries. It isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for, and no religion too. Imagine all the people living life in peace. You may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us and the world will be as one. Imagine no possessions. I wonder if you can. No need for greed or hunger, a brotherhood of man. Imagine all the people sharing all the world. You may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us and the world will live as one." That's precious little Dolly, you know, with her million-dollar smile. Well, let's look at Hank Jr. Oh, we're from the South. Man, everybody loves Hank Jr., right? Oh, yeah. "Good friends, good whiskey, and good loving. I just want to thank you, Lord." That's what he said. He wants to thank the Lord for good friends, good whiskey, and good loving. In another song, Country State of Mind, this quote comes in, "Somewhere between raising hell and amazing grace, Lord, I know just how they feel." Hank Williams Jr. and "Country Boy Can Survive." Oh, yeah, everybody loves that one, right? We say grace. We say, ma'am, if you ain't into that, we don't give a... Yeah. We make our own whiskey and our own smoke, too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. I get whiskey bent and hell bound. Or let's remember this jewel. If heaven ain't a lot like Dixie, I don't want to go. If heaven ain't a lot like Dixie, I'd just as soon stay home. I was one of the chosen few to be born in Alabama. I'm just like my daddy's son. I'm proud of who I am. I went through a lot of good women. I shook old Jim Beam's hand. If I never see the pearly gates, I've walked through the promised land. If heaven ain't a lot like Dixie, I don't want to go. If heaven ain't a lot like Dixie, I'd just as soon stay home. If they don't have a Grand Ole Opry like they do in Tennessee, just send me to hell or New York City. It'd be about the same to me. I could keep reading, but I think I'll stop on that one. Proverbs 5:5, "The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity." Proverbs 9:6, "Forsake the foolish and live and go in the way of understanding." Proverbs 18:2, "A fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. Let's go to a hometown girl. Y'all want to? Tanya Tucker. She's from Lamar County. Sweet little old Tanya Tucker. "When I die, I may not go to heaven. Because I don't know if they let cowboys in. But if they don't, just let me go to Texas. Texas is as close as I've been." Another lyric from that song, "I'd ride through all of hell and half of Texas just to hear Willie Nelson sing a country song. Beer just ain't as cold in old Milwaukee. My body's here, but my soul's in San Antonio. When I die, I may not go to heaven, because I don't know if they let cowboys in. But if they don't, just let me go to Texas, boy. Texas is as close as I've been." Or do y'all remember this one from the 80s? "Well, heaven's just a sin away. Oh, just a sin away. Heaven help me when I pray. I think I'm giving in." It's hard to hear this stuff in church, isn't it? Man, I'm telling you, it's tough. I'm leaving out a lot, y'all. I'm telling you. Here's a new performer, and I know my kids have heard him. Eric Church. Matter of fact, I've heard him mention him. It's a song called "Sinners Like Me." "I was 15 when my daddy's old man caught me halfway through my first beer. He laughed so hard when my face turned green. He said, 'You come from a long line of sinners like me.' Now me and my brother go to see him sometimes, but he don't have much to say anymore. So we sat on his headstone with a fifth of Jack D. Here's to a long line of sinners like me. La-di-da, la-di-da. I come from a long line of sinners like me. My mama had a soft spot for a hell-raising boy. So she had two more just like him. It takes an angel to raise a family that comes from a long line of sinners like me. Well, now maybe, who knows, one day I'll settle down, give my dad a grandson of his own. And when the doctor smacks him, he'll probably take a swing, because he'll come from a long line of sinners like me. La-di-da-di-da, la-di-da-di-dee. I come from a long line of sinners like me. On the day I die, I know where I'm going to go. Me and Jesus got that part worked out. I'll wait at the gates till his face I see and stand in a long line of sinners like me. I'll stand in a long line of sinners like me. Here's to a long line of sinners like me. I come from a long line of sinners like me." Wow. He proud of it, amen? I could keep going, but you don't want me to. What is the theme of country music? A lot of it's fornication and adultery. You know, the Bible has something to say about that. Has a lot to say about it. Proverbs 6:29-35. "So he that goeth into his neighbor's wife, whosoever toucheth her shall not be innocent. Men do not despise a thief if he steal to satisfy his soul when he's hungry. But if he be found, he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all the substance of his house. But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. A wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. For jealousy is the rage of a man. Therefore he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will not regard any ransom, neither will he rest content, though thou givest many gifts. Amen. Oh, and drinking songs. There's so many drinking songs. Whiskey River, take my mind. Don't let her memory torture me. Whiskey River, don't run dry. You're all I've got. Take care of me. I've got friends in low places where the whiskey drowns and the beer chases my blues away, and I'll be okay. Alcohol by Brad Paisley. Since the day I left Milwaukee, Lynchburg, Bordeaux, France, been making the bars lots of big money and helping white people dance. All my rowdy friends, do you want a drink? Do you want a party? I cooked a pig in the ground. We got some beer on ice, and all my rowdy friends are coming over tonight. Alan Jackson, remember he did the big gospel album. He's such a gospel-minded person. Pop a top again. I think I'll have another round. Set him up, my friend. Then I'll be gone and you can let some other fool sit down. I got to get drunk. George Jones, Merle Haggard, Willie Nelson. A lot of doctors tell me that I'd better start slowing it down, but there's more old drunks than there are old doctors. So I guess we'd better have another round. Toby Keith wrote songs called Get Drunk and Be Somebody. I love this bar. Whiskey Girl, Beer from My Horses. How about Roger Miller? Chug-a-lug, chug-a-lug. Something Like I Ain't Never Seen, and I'm just going on 15. But with the help of my finagling uncle, I get snuck in for my first taste of sin. That's Bank 64. Beer in Mexico, Kenny Chesney. Sit right here and have another beer in Mexico. Do my best to waste another day. Sit right here and I'll have another beer in Mexico. Let the warm air melt these blues away. There's booze in the blender, and soon it will render that frozen concoction that helps me hang on. Jimmy Buffett, Margaritaville. Say, preacher, I know you wish I'd stop. Amen. But hey, it's harmless. We listen to it all the time. We grew up on it. It's good for us. Well, let's see how good it is. Oh yeah, Alan Jackson, great guy. Pour me something tall and strong. Make me a hurricane before I go insane. It's only 12:30, but I don't care. It's 5:00 somewhere. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, and they that go to seek mixed wine. Look not upon the wine when it's red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, they shall be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I wake? I will seek it yet again. Is it a safe alternative? I don't listen to that rock stuff. I don't listen to that rap. I listen to a little country here and there, but it's not that bad. You say, well, and maybe somebody say, well, you know, it used to be like that, but it's not anymore. It's just good songs now. They mostly sing about happy stuff now. It's different. Well, you know, I just wanted to cover all bases, so I went on Billboard Top 100 yesterday, and I downloaded the lyrics for the top 10 country songs in America right now at this very moment. And I want to share some of them with you. I'm not going to read them all. I'm going to read you from all 10, but I'm not going to read all the lyrics. Just want to give you some select cuts. This is from Tim McGraw's number 10, as Casey Kasem would say, number 10. Tim McGraw's Southern Girl. A Southern girl's mama probably taught her how a lady should act. But a Southern girl's probably got a barn somewhere reared out back. She'll get a little hay in her hair, her tires in the mud. She's been caught in the rain and washed in the blood. Like cherries in her coke, take a little sip. Comes over to me with them sunburned lips and them kisses sweeter than Tupelo honey. Little bit crazy like New Orleans. Memphis blue and Daytona sunny. Softest cotton and some cut-off jeans. Don't you know ain't nothing in the world like a southern girl. What's he promoting? Sex. Number 9. Thomas Rhett. It goes like this. Hey, girl, you make me want to drive you home, get you out of here, and get you all alone. I don't know what it is about you, baby, but I'm all messed up, and it might sound crazy, but you make me want to write a song. What's he singing about? Jason Aldean, Night Train. I've been thinking about you all day, baby, waiting on that sun to go down. What you say I pick you up after work? Slide over, we'll slip out to the outskirts of town. Got a blanket and a fifth of comfort. That's southern comfort, if you don't know. A little something to knock off the edge. It's supposed to get a little cool tonight. Looks like I'm going to have to hold you tight. Yeah, what's he singing about? And sex. Number 7, Tyler Farr, Redneck Crazy. I'm going to aim my headlights into your bedroom window, throw empty beer cans at both of your shadows. I didn't come here to start a fight, but I'm up for anything tonight. You know you broke the wrong heart, baby, and drove me redneck crazy. Did you think I'd wish you both the best, endless love and happiness? You know that's just not the kind of man I am. I'm the kind that shows up at your house at 3 a.m. He's singing about adultery, sex. Number 6, Billy Currington. Hey, girl. What's your name, girl? I've been looking at you. Every guy in here is doing the same, girl. It'd be a shame, girl, if I let you walk on by, because I'm all caught up in your sweet smile. A girl like you comes around once in a while, so hot, got to give it a shot. Got a little, get a little bit of what you got. What's he singing about? Number 5. Mama's about to wilt over there. But everybody else hears it every day. Florida Georgia Line, Cruz. She was sipping on Southern, that's Southern Comfort, and singing Marshall Tucker. We were falling in love in the sweetheart of summer. She hopped right up in the cab of my truck and said, "Fire it up, let's go get this thing stuck. Baby, you a song. You make me want to roll my windows down and cruise. Back down a back road, blowing stop signs through the middle. Every little farm town with you in this brand new Chevy with a lift kit would look a HE double hockey sticks a lot better with you up in it." Drinking, cruising back roads, guess what that'll lead to? Number 4, Blake Shelton. Mine would be you. What's your worst hangover, your best night yet? Your 90 proof, your Marlboro Red. The best blank thing you lucked into. That's easy, girl. Mine would be you. Again, it's promoting sin. Number 2, or did I skip one? Yeah, I skipped one. Number 3. I skipped number 3. Round here by the Florida Georgia line. Hammering a nail, stacking them bales. I'm dog tired by the 5 o'clock hour, but I'm ready to raise some hell. And Jessie's getting ready. I'm gassing up the Chevy. I'm going to pick her up at 6. I hope she's going to wear the jeans with a tear her mama never fixed. The moon comes up and the sun goes down. We find a little spot on the edge of town. Twist off, sip a little, pass it around. Dance in the dust, turn the radio up, and that fireball whiskey whispers temptation in my ear. It's a feeling all right Saturday night. That's how we do it around here. Sex. Chris Young, oh no. Okay. Yeah, I think I'm going to have to leave. I just had that one drink. And we've all got to be up early. Boys, we ought to shut her down. Just take her to the house before anybody starts getting crazy. So I started walking across the floor. Before I got to the door, oh no, somebody just bought a shot of that Patron. Hang on, I just might have to stay. Oh no, look at the time, y'all. What happened to coats on long gone? I should be halfway home, but oh no. Yeah, girl, I saw you come in with all your girlfriends just cutting up and shooting Bacardi. Yeah, I got the boys with me. We're just blowing. And don't feel dirty yet. But it's just country music. It's just innocent. It's just innocent. It's just innocent. Number one, Luke Bryan, my kind of night. That's my kind of night. I got the real good feel-good stuff up under the seat of my big black jacked-up truck, rolling on 35s, pretty girl by my side. You got that suntan skirt and boots waiting on you to look my way and scoot your little hot self over here. Girl, hand me another beer. Folks, that's what's going on in people's ears. I'm telling you, it is downright filth. And yet we condone it because it's country music. I'm talking about my kids listen to that garbage. Jesse hears it over at work all day long. I know Jared hears it. They talk about, I hear them talking about songs. I don't play it for them. Hey, I'm guilty of it. I used to play the garbage. And it took me a long time to get that garbage and filth out of my system. I'm telling you, it had a pull on me for years. But I hate it with everything in me because I know how God feels about it. And I hate reading this garbage from the pulpit just as bad as you hate hearing it. But when you put it under the light of God's holy word, when you put it in God's house, you see the filth for what it is. It's as ugly as if I stood up here preaching on drinking while sipping on Jack Daniels. I'm not done. I'm almost done, but I've got two more. This one's by a man named Kevin Fowler. I want to tell you something. I want to expose to you the blasphemy of country music. Kevin Fowler, the Lord loves the drinking man. The Lord loves the drinking man. Sends honky-tonk angels to the promised land. I hear that he can turn water to wine. Any man that can do that is a good friend of mine. I've been baptized in beer. I'm here to testify. I was speaking in tongues when I came home last night. Some folks say I'm living in sin, but I know the Lord loves the drinking man. The preacher man, he told me, boy, you ain't no good. The devil's going to get you. Better start acting like you should. All the cold beers and bright lights staying out all night. The good book, it tells me, boy, your soul's going to burn. My mama said, son, you're heading down the wrong road. Don't let the honky-tonkers up in heaven. They don't let honky-tonkers up in heaven, I've been told. Don't you worry, mama. I'll see you up in heaven. I've been thinking about it, and I've come to this conclusion now. The Lord loves the drinking man. My daddy said, son, you're living your life all wrong. Lightning's going to strike you down before too long. That man upstairs, he don't like what you do. When you reach those pearly gates, you ain't getting through. Well, I've been thinking. I've got a brand new plan. I'm going to start a little church down at the Stumble Inn. Yeah, that's right. I'm going to start my own religion. We'll be drinking and dancing at the church of Hank Williams. The Lord loves the drinking man. That's blasphemous out of hell. And lastly, I saved the best for last. I'll give you his little bit of his biography before I tell you who he is. While in college, he aspired to be a Baptist preacher. He served as the music and youth minister at Avoca Baptist Church in Avoca, Texas. He was given a choice to either quit playing country music in bars or leave Abilene Christian University. In his words, I was going to be a preacher, but country music saved me from that life. That's Ronnie Dunn from Brooks and Dunn. And he brought his Christian influence into his music with this one. I saw the light. I've been baptized by the fire in your touch and the flame in your eyes. I'm born to love again. I'm a brand new man. He's equating his love with this woman with salvation. Well, the whole town's talking about the line I'm walking that leads right to your door. Oh, how I used to roam. I was a rolling stone. I used to have a wild side. They say a country mile wide. I'd burn those beer joints down. That's all changed now. You turned my life around. Oh, she's his savior. He's mocking Jesus. I used to love them and leave them. I'd brag about my freedom, how no one could tie me down. Then I met you. Now my heart beats true. Baby, you and me together feels more like forever than anything I've ever known. Even more than Jesus, you see. I saw the light. I've been baptized. It's blasphemy to love country music. Listen to me. To love country music makes you at odds, even enemies with God. At the very least, you're cheating on God. James 4:4 says, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." See, when you put the filth out there and you see it for what it is, you understand why God hates it. You understand why us loving it makes us enemies with God. Country music's evil and out of hell. Loving the world, loving worldly things hinders our faith and our walk. You can't walk with God and love that garbage. You may tell yourself you can, but you can't. Galatians 5:7 said, "You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth?" You see, when they put that stuff in your ears and seeing and hearing, it vexes your soul. Country music is feeding the flesh a diet of lust for sin. And the consequences will be corruption in your life. Galatians 6:7-8 says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh," and you think turning that dial on there and listening to that stuff and getting in the mood with all that music ain't sowing to your flesh, you're out of your mind. "But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." You'll grow spiritually. Your eternal life, your everlasting life, it'll become more and more abundant in your life. But the more you feed that flesh, the more it turns the squelch knob on your spirit. I looked at some themes of country music. Oh, y'all thought I was through, didn't you? One last round. Just some song titles. "You'd Make an Angel Want to Cheat." "Let's Get It While the Getting's Good." Oh, this is a big one from the 70s. "She's not really cheating. She's just getting even." Earl Thomas Conley sang, "When all those heavenly bodies come out at night to play. When I get my hands on you, I feel like loving you again. Why don't you spend the night? I may be used, but baby, I ain't used up." That was Waylon Jennings. You remember this one? "To all the girls I've loved before." He's saying, "I'm such a womanizer." And then my personal favorite, to be sarcastic, David Allen Coe's, "Now I lay me down to cheat on the woman I love so. If I die between these sheets, I pray to God she'll never know." God hates that filth. And you know what? The people that sing it, the people that write it, the people that play it, don't care. Willie Nelson. He appeared on Barbara Walters' special during an ABC interview. He explained how he gave up smoking cigarettes and smoked only pot before and during after performances until he suffered a collapsed lung. When he made the following statements, "I am against authority. I am anti-establishment. I despise seeing a policeman." After this performer boasted of his life, which included three marriages and affairs during all three, Barbara Walters, Willie Nelson, Barbara Walters asked, "Do you realize the tremendous influence you have over the youth and adults of America? Does it not bother you that you would cause them to go in the same direction?" He responded, "They would do it anyway." He don't care. Good old Willie. Symbol of America, Willie Nelson. See, the world recognizes the consequences of filling the mind with this kind of music while idolizing these performers. Why can't Christians recognize it? Why can't Christians see it? It just don't make sense. We ought not give these corrupt songwriters and performers an opportunity to trouble us anymore. Galatians 6:17 says, "From henceforth, from this point forward, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus." I'm a Christian. I'm washed in the blood. I shouldn't be associated with the filth of the world. To stand for Jesus, you have to stand against sin. You can't be part and parcel to it. Ephesians 5:11, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness." Well, I just like country. I just like it. It's good. I like it. No, you can't have fellowship with it because it is of the unfruitful works of darkness. The music business is corrupt. All of it. Same people. Hey, all these rappers and all these rock musicians that we claim we're disgusted by, they're on the same labels with these country artists. They all serve the same master. They've all sold their soul to the same devil. I was in the music business. I moved my daddy in 1993, in the summer of 1993, loaded up everything that me and my brother owned, and he gave us $1,000 each, and he drove us to Nashville, Tennessee, and we moved in, and we walked up and down those streets, up and down that street called Dimmenbrunn, or whatever it was called, up and down Printer's Alley, past Tootsie's Orchid Lounge and all that, trying to find a way into the music business, and all I saw was filth and corruption. I was there a month and I got out of there. Filth. The music business is corrupt. It's a part of Satan's earthly kingdom, Mystery Babylon. And God urges us to come out of it. In Revelation 18, He gives one last urge. I understand this. We're not dealing with Revelation 18, but listen to the call that He gives. "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues." Let me tell you something. Country music brings a plague. It is played for people who are miserable, to wallow in their misery, to find, you know, the old saying, misery loves company. Well, it's there to be that company. It's there to cry to. It's there to get angry to. It's there to drink to. It's there to cheat to. And it goes with a plague. I'm telling you, it goes with a plague. Some people out there last night at Crosswire, let me tell you something. There's a lot of them this morning waking up with a plague in their head this morning, dealing with the result of their sin. I can tell you, I guarantee you, there's somebody who last night their spouse caught them with somebody else. I can guarantee you there was a fight broke out somewhere as a result of that garbage. It's impossible to truly love the things of God and the things of this world at the same time. The love of this world will steal the love of God from you. 1 John 2:15 through 17, you know what it says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." That's as far as I need to read with that passage, because you know what? The love of the world, that's what country music sings about. It throws God in there every now and then just to keep people going, "Oh, they sing about God," right after they sing about sin. They try to make out that God, He don't mind a little drinking, a little adultery here and there, just as long as you go to church on Sunday. You can't love both. I'm going to tell you something. Until I absolutely divorced myself from country music, I've never truly loved the music of God. I'd play it, I'd sing it, but I didn't have an adoration in my soul for gospel music until I divorced myself 100% from country music. I don't listen to country music. I don't like country music. I don't want to play it. I don't want to hear it. It disgusts me. Don't be one of those people that makes excuses for country music. Well, the guy I listen to, he's okay. I listen to so-and-so. I listen to that girl saying, Jesus, take the wheel. Wasn't that such a good gospel song? No. There were songs on that same album that gave glory to drinking and adultery. The beat of country music, the themes of country music, the lyrics of country music are filled with lust, blasphemy, and corruption. They're songs of broken lives and lives of rebellion. Remove yourself from it and draw nigh to God. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 and 22, prove all things. Don't just listen to the garbage. Prove it. That's what we did today. We proved it. That's what God said to do. He said, well, I wish you hadn't read all that. Well, I was proving it. And it ain't nothing you ain't heard in a restaurant. It ain't nothing you ain't heard maybe in your home or your car or at your work. See, you heard it in the church house, and it's as vile as can be. You can't draw a line over here and say, over here's holy, and over there's my life. Ain't no, you ain't got the holy and the secular. It's all the same if you're a Christian. Abstain from all appearance of evil. All of it. Forsake the songs of this world for the songs of God. And I'll close with this verse, 1 Peter 1:15-17. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. In everything, in what you do, in what you speak, and in what you listen to. Because it's written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of person judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Not by cutting on that garbage and listening to the songs of hell. Let's stand together. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, it's been a rough one, Lord. It's been a rough one because we've had to look evil in the eye. And Lord, it may have even seemed like our friend at one time. Oh God, I pray that now that we have the knowledge of just how dark it is and just how wrong it is, Lord, I pray that we'd have the grace to surrender our love for it or our like for it or our fellowship with it. Lord, turn away from it. Because, Lord, it takes us away from You. And, Father, I pray that You move upon the hearts of Your people. And, Father, draw us to that place of repentance. Oh God, You do a work in us, we pray now. In Jesus' name, amen.